Westside Baptist Church in Newnan, Georgia, brings you our weekly podcast. We hope you will be encouraged by our music and a message from the Word of God as we present our Sunday morning and Sunday evening services and our weekly broadcast by Dr. Melvin Payne. We thank you for listening.
I was glad when they said it to me, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." Welcome to the program. I trust it's going to be a blessing today. We're going to have a message from the Word of God, and we're also going to have some wonderful songs of inspiration. But before we get into the singing each week, I ask you to pick up that telephone, call a friend or a neighbor, and invite them to view the program. Many of you do that, and it helps me advertise this ministry. And if you see me in town, please stop and introduce yourself and let me know that you're viewing. Now we're getting into the singing today. The very first song features our youth pastor, William Davison. And he's singing this wonderful, wonderful song, "Worthy is the Risen Lamb."
A manger in Bethlehem held Mary's little lamb, and the cross on Golgotha held the nails that pierced his hand. Then Satan said, "I've won." I told him. The tomb said, "I'll hold him." And death said, "He's mine forevermore." For 3 days and nights, hell had a jubilee. But just as dawn was breaking, Satan thought he'd check and see. But the tomb said, "I can't find him." And death said, "I could not find him." And he got up, and when he left, he took my key.
I trust that you have enjoyed William's song. We're going to have another song now in just a minute. But right now, I want to take this opportunity to invite you, if you don't have a church home, to visit with us here at Westside Baptist Church. You may be new in this area, not know exactly where we are located, so let me give you some very brief directions. If you will simply drive downtown, driving south on Jackson Street, past the old courthouse. Drive to the bottom of the hill. Now at the bottom of the hill, the street changes in name only to LaGrange Street. You will drive down LaGrange Street, past the Newnan High School, drive further 1.5 miles down the road. Look for the church on the left-hand side of the road. In fact, just look for the big white cross on the church sign, 762 Smoky Road. Our services begin on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock with Sunday school. Morning worship at 11, evening service at 6 p.m. On Wednesday at 6:30, we have the Awana program. At 7 o'clock, the teen ministers and the adult Bible study. Come out and visit with us. We'd be so thrilled to have you do that. Now we're getting right back into the singing. A wonderful song by one of our favorite groups that comes here quite frequently, Squire Parsons Trio, is singing Gone.
Welcome Greg Fox as he comes to sing Gone. The stone is rolled back. The tomb is empty. He lives forevermore. Give him a welcome as he comes. The tomb of Jesus. That old stone was moved, and he had gone away. The angel said, "Fear not, I know whom seek ye. Oh, but he has risen." This she heard him say.
Stone is rolled back, gone. The tomb is empty, gone. To sit at his Father's side. Gone, over death triumphant, gone. Sin is defeated, gone. He lives forevermore.
This risen Savior, I beg of you, don't you wait too late to pray. Don't wait until his bride has been completed. Don't you wait until you hear him say, it's just too late.
The stone is rolled back, gone. The tomb is empty, gone. To sit at his Father's side. Gone, over death triumphant, gone. Sin is defeated, gone. He lives forevermore.
This risen Savior, I beg of you, don't you wait too late to pray. Don't wait until his bride has been completed. Don't you wait until you hear him say, it's just too late.
Stone is rolled back, gone. The tomb is empty, gone. To sit at his Father's side. Gone, over death triumphant, gone. Sin is defeated, gone. He lives forevermore. Stone is rolled back, gone.
The tomb is empty.
The tomb is empty, gone.
To sit at his Father's
side. To sit at his Father's side.
He's
gone.
Over death.
Over death triumphant, gone.
Sin is defeated.
Sin is defeated, gone.
But he lives forevermore.
He lives forevermore.
Now, just before the message, Phil Cross and Port Voices singing my Redeemer lives.
Mary came at early dawn, but she found the Savior gone. To him wine unto her said, why seek among the dead? He is risen. Do not cry, but tell the whole world he is alive.
Resurrection day proclaims Christ the risen Savior reigns. Oh, what joy!
I trust that you have enjoyed the singing today. Now it's time to take a look in the book. I have asked my associate, Brother Alton Midget Jr., to bring the message of the hour. Brother Alton comes to us about 6 years ago from a church in South Carolina, and he's been a wonderful help and strength to our ministry here, and I trust you're going to enjoy his message today. Brother Alton Midget Jr.
We'll be reading from Titus chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, the Apostle Paul makes a wonderful statement. He says, Paul, a servant of God. Now that's exciting, and I'll show you why I believe it's so exciting here in just a moment. Paul, a servant of God, and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and acknowledging the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Ladies and gentlemen, it is exciting to be a servant of God because you know he cannot lie. When he says something, you can believe it. When he speaks, whatever he says or does, you can take it to the bank. It's going to be okay. So I don't know about you, but if I'm going to be a servant to a God, I want to be a servant to a God that cannot lie. It is not that God will not lie. It is that he cannot lie. And so if we're going to serve a God, let's serve a good God, the real God, the God that cannot lie. And Paul is encouraging this, I believe. Of course, Paul was a great man. And we read his writings through the New Testament, and we glean a lot of wisdom and information and encouragement from his writings. But we also see that Paul was in great company. I mean, we can go all the way through the Old Testament, and there were great men that were referred to as the servants of God. Moses was a servant of God. In Deuteronomy 34:5, it says, "So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab." I mean, Moses was truly a servant of God. One thing that interests me concerning this word servant is that it also means slave. I think we'd all have to agree that slavery is evil and wicked. So how could it possibly be that if we make ourselves servants or slaves unto God, how could that be a good thing? Well, under normal circumstances, as I've mentioned, slavery isn't. But when we bend our will to a holy, righteous God that cannot lie, a little later on, we will find in the Scriptures in just a few minutes that there is actually freedom in being a servant of the Lord. Joshua was a slave or a servant unto the Lord. Joshua 24:29 says, "Joshua, the servant of the Lord, died." And my goodness gracious, who can ever forget David? David was a slave. David was a servant in 2 Samuel 3:18. He tells us, "For the Lord hath spoken of David, saying, by the hand of my servant David, I will save my people Israel out of the hand of the Philistines." David was a servant. He served the Lord. I mean, whenever we think of David, we can't help but think about David and Goliath. You can't help but think about this man that could carry and sling a sling and kill someone with a stone and just a sling. I mean, he was a great servant of the Lord. And then, of course, we see James. James, the half-brother of Jesus, and Jude as well. I mean, they may have come to the table a little late in recognizing their half-brother as the Savior of the world. But in James 1:1, it says, "James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ." So James was a servant to his own half-brother, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then Jude was also a servant or a slave of Jesus Christ. In Jude 1:1, he says, "Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God and preserved in Jesus Christ and called." Now, the great thing about this, Jude is counting himself as a servant, but he also says, hey, we're preserved in Jesus Christ and we are called in Jesus Christ. It's one thing to go into servitude hesitant and kicking and screaming and fighting the will of God in our lives. But it's another thing to jump in head first and go willingly because we are called. How many times as we as Christians gone to do something for the Lord and grumbled and griped about it the whole time? Well, Jude, he was obviously excited about being a servant of the Lord. He bragged about the sanctification. He bragged about being preserved and enjoyed the calling. And of course, there were other prophets that were servants or slaves that we can read about all the way through the Old Testament. You know, Christians, we need ourselves today, in this present time, we need to be slaves or servants of our Lord Jesus Christ. Many times, in order to be a servant as the Lord would have us to be, we just need to have a willing heart and a willing spirit. And in doing so, He puts us in the place we need to be at the time we need to be there. I remember just a short time ago, a couple weeks ago, I was in my study preparing for Sunday morning service, and a young man came walking into my study and wanted to know about how to become closer to the Lord. Well, in talking to him, I realized that this young man had never accepted Christ as his Lord and Savior. He had never recognized that he was a sinner. He had never bowed his knee. He had never asked Jesus to come to his heart and to make him a new creature in Christ. He had never done any of that. Well, being baptized as he wanted to be wouldn't have helped him. But I was able, through the Word of God, to show him how he could be born again and be saved and know that heaven is his home. Well, that young man, the Lord got a hold of his heart. He fell on his hands and knees there in my office and wept and asked Jesus into his heart and his life. Now, I count it an honor that God would allow me to be a servant, or if I may use the word, even a slave to Him on that day. I could have sent this young man to the youth pastor's office or the secretary's office or the senior pastor's office, and we could have, either one of those people, individuals, could have led that young man to the Lord, or he could have gone to one of those offices instead of mine. But for whatever reason, on that day, God allowed me to be a servant and do something that would further the kingdom of God. Well, I was looking in Ephesians 6:6. It says, "But as the servants of Christ, do the will of God from the heart." I don't know about you, but I don't want to go through life serving the Lord half-wittedly. I want to do it with all my heart. I want to serve in every possible way I can, and I want to be sincere with it. I want to do it from the heart. It was a blessing for that young man to come in my office. It was a blessing that God would even use and allow me on any level to lead someone to Christ. I remember a few years ago, I pastored in another state, and a young lady came through the door on Sunday morning, sat down over on the left side of the auditorium, about three or four pews back, and cried and cried. I mean, she cried from the moment she walked in the door. The song, we began to sing, we had prayer, we had the offering, and she cried. Then the preaching was taking place, and she cried, and she wept like a baby. And the whole time I was preaching, I knew that the Holy Spirit was dealing with this young lady, and I was saying, "Lord, please don't let this servant do anything to hinder what You're doing in the heart of this young lady." I don't know how, but I got through a whole message without flubbing it up, without making a huge error. And we gave the invitation, and that young lady came down weeping and crying, and I met her there in front of between the platform and the pew, and she said, "I need to be saved." Well, I was just thankful that the Lord allowed me to preach the gospel without messing everything that He was already doing in that lady's heart, that He allowed me to be a servant for those few minutes without messing it all up. We just thoroughly are blessed to be God's servant. In John 12, verse 26, I want to read this to you. This was such a blessing to me, and I hope it will be as well for you. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. The Lord Jesus is telling us that Him will my Father honor. Think about this. You and me, a servant, trying to just do something for the Lord. And we consider it a little thing, but it is such a huge thing to Christ and such a great thing to God the Father that Jesus says that His Father will honor us for serving or for being a servant or being a submissive slave. This word, honor, also means this. It also means to respect. So God the Father has a respect for those that serve His Son. This word honor also means love. So God the Father also loves those servants that submit themselves and serve in His Son's holy name. One more word that I think maybe when it's used it carries a little bit more weight. This word honor also means revere. To revere someone seems to be a step above just to love them or just to respect them. But to revere is to love, respect, and finding a reason to honor them. Imagine, because we decide to serve the Lord Jesus, God the Father reveres us or esteems us highly. Well, that concludes our Bible reading for today. This is Pastor Alton wishing you and yours a good day.